And I'm sorry, going into part two again. So I think you should be able to live with your spouse, and not just EU citizens. I think British citizens should be able to do that too. And children should be able to live with both their parents. As I said before, the irony of Theresa May constantly standing there saying, oh, we won't split up families. She routinely does that, or she did when she was at the Home Office, and they're still doing it. The UK is, and I saw this, someone has actually done a comparison. The UK has the least family-friendly immigration law of developed countries, because to bring your spouse into the UK, so for British citizens, if the spouse is non-EU, and this would then apply to EU too after Brexit, they have to earn 18,000 something pounds, 18,600, I think. So there is kind of a cap where the government has decided that's the salary they have to have, otherwise they're not allowed in the country. And they apply that, and it's really difficult, and people spend thousands of pounds just applying for visas. And Keir Starmer was actually bringing figures and saying this amount of money, he said 44% of the population, I think it was, don't earn that kind of money. So 44% of Brits would not be able to bring a non-EU spouse into the country. And for women, that proportion is even higher. I think 55% of women don't earn that kind of salary. So half the population falls under this, and that's just completely ludicrous. So I would suggest, well, actually, he said Labour would review this, but when he was asked, well, is this unfair, would you change it, he just kept saying, oh, we would review it. I just wish he'd just say, yes, this is profoundly unfair, and that should be changed. I mean, I know Theresa May brought it in to get rid of sham marriages and etc. But again, I think she was just throwing her toys out of the pram a bit there. The same as with the bogus colleges, that was supposed to be a huge problem, and then turned out it was actually a tiny, tiny number. But this is all to do with the UK not being able to say who is actually in the country and how long they're staying. Otherwise, she would know that the students overstaying, it's turned out, is I think in the region of 1,500 a year, rather than thousands, as she was making, tens of thousands, as she was making out. So all these figures have been so exaggerated, and therefore she's bringing in, she then took that as an excuse to bring in her draconian changes to the immigration law. And it also, I think lots of British people don't realise that. So again, today I was told, oh, well, you'll be all right because you're married to a British citizen and you have British children. And I said, well, that doesn't matter in the eyes of the Home Office. They don't care. That is not a part of the law. They don't look at who you're married to. And certainly as a British citizen, as I said, you don't have the right to live with your spouse. And I mean, to give them credit, everyone I've told this to, they all assumed that, of course, you should be able to live with your spouse. Of course, being British citizen should mean that you can bring your spouse into the country. But whenever I say, no, it doesn't, that's not how it works, to their credit, they all go, what? Really? And they're really surprised. But see, this is something that the Home Office doesn't advertise. So there's also been a government update to, I think you can sign up to Home Office updates, and an email has gone out from your Home Office today that they made their counter offer to the EU. They kind of said, oh, this is what it's going to be like. I think they're still trying to discourage people from applying for permanent residency, I think, because they're so swamped with cases. But they just mentioned all the things that were set out by the government that day, as if this is the reality now. Not as in, oh, this is the offer that was made today, this is subject to change in the negotiations. It's just kind of, this is what it's like, this is what's going to happen. But anyway, with all of that happening, it is no wonder that that so many EU citizens are now anxious and depressed. And guess what? They are now using public services. They're now having to use mental health services because of this. Many are moving back, from what I've heard, even if they've been here 20 plus years. They said, you know, that's not what they want to do anymore. they don't want to be here anymore. This always felt like home, and all of a sudden they feel tolerated. And as I said yesterday, unfortunately, a lot of Brits don't even seem to understand that feeling. They just go, oh, well, you're a foreigner and things change. Oh, well, tough. But, you know, just a little bit of empathy. If someone's made their home there and they've lived there for most of their adult life, and then all of a sudden that is a problem and they're no longer welcome. I've even heard of a Swedish family who have an OMG folder with all their passports and most important documents in case they need to flee in the middle of the night. You know, I hope it's not going to come to that. I hope it's not going to be that bad. But, you know, these are people. This is what's happened to them over the last year. This is how insecure people feel. And this is a Tory government that's done that over the last year by just, you know, talking the talk but not walking the walk, and coming up with this shoddy offer this late in the day. And so many instances of people being abused because of speaking a foreign language in public. The German ambassador today said that he thought it was shocking how few people now learn German. The numbers have really fallen. But I know from us in the vicinity that German is just not offered in schools, which is a shame. And he said that he thought learning a foreign language, like, yes, the English rely on English being the lingua franca of the world. However, he said, learning a foreign language is a sign of friendship. It's reaching out to people, and more of that would be good. A lot of people don't seem to be aware. I also talked to a Swedish lady today. I didn't realize she was Swedish, but because she just gave me the usual, oh well, it's not that bad. You can always get citizenship. Because I was talking about permanent residency, and she said, oh, you can always get British citizenship. I was like, well, yes, hello, but unfortunately, if you want to apply for British citizenship, under current rules, you have to apply for permanent residency first. Rejection rate, 36%. And that's only the people who think they have a chance to get it, because there are an awful lot of people out there who are economically inactive. Yes, and it discriminates against women because they're the most likely to stay at home once they've had a child, who don't even bother applying because they know they're going to fail the test, because nobody knew that the UK government in 2011 decided to creatively interpret EU law and say that EU citizens here need to have private health insurance. When everywhere you go, you get told you use the NHS, just because every other EU country has an actual health insurance system, and UK is the only one that doesn't, and the EU obviously didn't take that into account when they made their rules and regulations. So the UK interpreted it differently. The EU wasn't happy with that, and they actually started to bring a infringement procedure against the UK, but then the climate here changed, so I think they didn't go through with it in the end. But that's now a huge stumbling block for people who wanted to apply for PR, because if you didn't have that while you weren't working, then you get automatically rejected. And as I said, nobody really knew about this. So now, obviously, people would only really apply for PR if they want to go down the citizenship route, because otherwise, you know, since we've been told now it's completely worthless, the government's not going to honour that, because everyone will have to apply for their new settled status that they've come up with. So just some way towards explaining why EU citizens here are moving back in their droves. It said about half of them said they want to move back anyway, so that would be about 1 million, they said. But yeah, just to explain that. Anyway, I'm running out of time again. Thank you ever so much for listening. And I'll speak to you again tomorrow. Bye for now.